I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. Today we're covering Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo.
Cannot wait. It's just a different team for me. I'm not really into the Teen Titans, so I don't know them that well. But very excited to have I like it when we get a bit of variation.
And most importantly, Dick Grayson's back!
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to mention that because there's no way I can say it without sounding filthy. But I'm very excited. Very
family
excited for
show,
Nightwing. Should
show.
we only refer to him as Nightwing from now on so I don't get myself in trouble and start laughing? But yes, very excited to see a bit of Nightwing in action.
Robin.
Oh, is he still Robin in this one? Oh, okay, Robin.
Yes. So, Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo is a made-for-TV superhero film. It is a continuation of the Teen Titans television series that ran on Cartoon Network from 2003
to 2006. Oh, I think I've seen a little bit of that. Not much, but I think I've seen a little of it. So
the head writer of Teen Titans has written this film. I believe it's the same cast.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, Tara Strong is back as Raven, which I know is the kind of the one that seems to have had the most long-term impact. It's the one that it's one of the many roles in DC that Tara Strong has become synonymous for.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's at the point now where she's the established voice for five or six major DC characters.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, but that happens quite a lot with voice actors, so.
Yeah. Also, have you watched anything from Teen Titans Go?
I watched the film.
Right. So, just to make this clear, Teen Titans Go is not the same continuity.
Yeah, no, I figured.
Though it is the same actors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a movie coming up, came out last year. That's Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go.
Oh yeah, I've not seen that one.
So this is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it'd be quite interesting. So
it's unfortunately it's the only pure Teen Titans film that we're getting.
Yeah.
Much like Batman vs Dracula is the only pure The Batman we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace, so I'm looking forward to that one.
Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Rey, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the Loony Listener, with a podcast honouring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
And we're back. Rebecca, you keep bringing guests over. I'm getting jealous. You have friends.
No, well, Claire's your friend too. She brought us together, so I can't lay claim just to Claire.
Many people lay claim to me.
That's actually true, and I actually want to say this on the record as well, Claire. Joining us today is Claire Lafar. She's a fellow podcaster. And yes, as Rebecca said, she's actually the person that actually made this podcast possible because I approached her with, I've got this crazy project for a podcast. She turned around and said, oh, I don't have time to do that, unfortunately, but have you talked to this person who's awesome? And hence, Rebecca.
And has all the time in the world, Rebecca does.
I used to, right? It's suddenly changed.
Yeah.
I don't know what could have changed in the world that made me suddenly busy.
Be careful. People are getting taken down where they mention that word. And we're not an explicit podcast. Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Now, how much experience did either of you have of the Teen Titans cartoon show?
Like none. No, that's not true. I've watched about 5 episodes when somebody told me it was great.
Right.
Wasn't that great? It was fine. It was like, okay.
The only experience I have of the Teen Titans at all in film, TV, anything is watching, I think, 6, maybe, not probably not even 6, like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 episodes of the Titans live action show. And some of those characters, I knew Robin, obviously, and I knew Cyborg from the Justice League movie. But I never heard of Beast Boy or Star. I'd heard of Starfire, but I had no idea who she was. And I'd never heard of Raven. But I'm glad I saw Titans a few episodes before this, because I knew who the characters were going in.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't know that much about them either. I'd seen Starfire in some stuff with Nightwing. So I knew she'd dated him in the comics, comics that I hadn't read. And I kind of, I also really didn't know much about Raven, to be honest, until I saw the live action Titans. Really not much of a, even when I read DC, I don't tend to read the group books.
So we'll establish this, because they don't establish, you can tell that this was a this was a feature-length episode that they put on, they kind of tacked on after the TV series had ended. So my kind of knowledge of the Teen Titans, I'd seen bits and pieces. Actually, I think bits of it were from this film, actually.
Right.
That I'd seen. So I knew about the final boss. Seen him.
All right. Right. Yeah.
But this kind of passed me by, because even though it was around the same time as the Batman, this was on Cartoon Network and I only had Council Telly, so.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I never had Cartoon Network.
The Teen Titans, who are Robin, the Dick Grayson version.
The best version.
Starfire, who is a space alien who can produce fire?
And she's called Coriander.
Yeah.
Which I always find amusing.
Yeah, me too.
Thankfully, because she's a younger version of the character, she actually wears clothes in this version. The comic books, she's not so lucky. Raven, whose powers are fueled by her dad, who is Triton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Triton is a major villain in DC Comics. And Raven's a sort of half, so she's half demonic, which means that she's always kind of fighting an internal darkness type deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Beast Boy, who can turn into any animal, that's his powers.
Lovely, but they're always green-ish, right? Yeah, always
green and purple as well. Very, very Hulk colour scheme of him.
But he's lovely. We like him.
Yeah, he was so cute.
Finally, Cyborg, who's very different from any version of Cyborg I've encountered before.
Yeah, I have very little interest in Cyborg in any version, I'm afraid. Yeah. I actually read the first 5 issues of the Cyborg Rebirth comic, because people said it was really good, and it was fine. But it wasn't anything that kept me. It was just fine.
Mm.
We've spent more time establishing the characters now than the movie does.
Yeah, the movie just goes straight into a fight.
Yeah.
So we're in whatever town that the Teen Titans are based in. There is a blue and pink ninja warrior.
Yeah, they're literally
You know what he reminded me of? I was like, he looks like the outfit looked like Black Panther. Sorry, this is going to be Marvel reference because I know Marvel better. Looked like Black Panther, and then it looked like they'd got those two new Marvel characters, Safe Space and Snowflake, and smushed them together on top of this.
I just thought it was like a Power Ranger. I just thought it was a Power Ranger.
I've never seen Power Rangers. Okay, either.
So that's why.
I'm terrible. Yeah, so the colour scheme. And immediately I was like, oh, that's weird that they've done like this in like cyan and magenta.
Yeah.
And then when it flashed yellow as well, I was like, why are they doing CMYK? Which is, and then it became like a plot point later. But this is because I work in an art store. So.
Yeah.
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 So the film starts with a chase sequence. The Titans appear and go, you can't be throwing exploding ninja stars. And then they chase after him. And yeah, straight into the action.
It's right in. It just goes straight there.
I love the fact that, and I don't know if this is from the comics, I like that Robin has this awesome little motorcycle. And I like the fact that Cyborg drives a car that looks like the one that my dad used to drive. It just looks like a mummobile. I found it really funny.
I don't get the car. Doesn't Cyborg fly?
He's
got rockets and his feet.
He does in the film, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, one thing that does happen is that the ninja dude gets his hand cut off.
It's pretty harsh.
And it instantly grows back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it flashes the colours first because it flashes like cyan, magenta, yellow, black. And that's when I was like, oh, it's like CMYK. So, you know, and when they went to the comic book store that became a plot point shortly after, I was like, oh, these guys are drawings.
Nice.
You know.
Oh, so you already figured this all out.
Yeah, but it's only because I work in an art store and I'm an illustrator. So I picked up on the colours kind of straight away because it was an unusual choice to have. Not even, because it wasn't even blue and red, the costume that his costume was split into. It was specifically cyan and magenta. So it was, and then with the yellow on top and black, that's your colour palette, your mixing palette for printing. So it's the four colours that all comic books are printed out of, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought it was like a nice little touch, like that it flashed the colours whenever, like, because we saw the big monster later when there was the hole, or the Godzilla when there was the hole in the stomach, and it did the same thing.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a nice little hint, and if you sort of knew about that, then you might pick up on it, but it wasn't super obvious, you know. So I thought that was good.
So what does happen is Ninja Dude makes it to the, I'm assuming this is the Teen Titans base. Again, they certainly act like it's their base or their home.
Yeah, I think it
is. He does a lot of damage to the tower. No one's able to do any damage to him until Robin literally jumps down the side of a building and punches him.
Yeah, he's quite into it. He's very upset about having things damaged in his house. Considering he looks like he's 5, that's pretty.
He does. He looks so young.
He looks so young.
Yeah.
So go, Robin, you child. Why are you allowed to live on your own? It shouldn't be right.
Oh, yeah. Where's your?
Come on.
Yeah. At least bring Alfred with you.
Well, yeah, but as if Batman would give up Alfred. But yeah, you know, like, but it's crazy.
Oh, wait a minute. This is our second instance of Dick Grayson.
Yay, which we have to approve.
Yay.
You have to say Dick Grayson, otherwise Alan gets worried about the censorship.
Awesome.
Richard Grayson.
I'm too used to making jokes about his name. So, like, I have to be really careful to either say Robin, Nightwing, or Dick Grayson.
The tower is ruined. Robin is going, is very much channeling his boss. No holidays.
Yeah, he's trying to be very harsh.
And he goes to interrogate the guy. So the guy's name is Psychotech?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I found his voice very... I mean, I found a few of the voices very strange in this film. Like, I found Cyborg's voice strange, and I found this voice very strange as well.
It was a bit strange. They were very squeaky. That's what I said to Alan really early on. Because Alan was asking if I'd taken notes, and took notes for the first half hour before I was like, I can't deal with this. Yeah. All I'm writing is why are they so squeaky? And like, it's very bright and they're very squeaky. But I forgot to even email myself the notes. So, you know, but I'm holding
I have some notes, but yeah.
But it was that. Really squeaky. Like, compared to a lot of the stuff we've watched, the voice acting was one of those sort of top-notch things. And it might be, but they're aiming at a much younger audience. But and I've not watched the cartoon, but it was, like, super squeaky.
Mm.
You can tell it's very much... Just already, there's such a different tone to anything else we've done. I mean, all the kind of the Timverse stuff is, apart from maybe Brainiac Attacks, is played very straight and very mm-hmm. serious. Gen 13 was the same.
Yeah, it was played seriously, even though it was ridiculous.
Even the Batman versus Dracula at least took itself seriously, even if no one else did.
Which is why it was good, to be honest, is because it took itself seriously. Because you could have, otherwise it could have really gone the other way. But this is also aimed at a different age group. I think we should, like, you know, this is obviously aimed younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, so I feel it's a little bit unfair to criticize.
There's no joke in getting a bloodbath in this version.
No, and it worked. It's just like I might have loved it if I was 12.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a criticism of it. It's just that I'm not 12. Well, yeah, yeah. I'd have had to have a lot of sugar, to be fair.
So,
yeah.
What's also mentioned is that Psychotech is working for a supervillain called Broshokan.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Who is an original villain for this film.
Okay.
Because I actually looked this up. And it's a shame, because I actually think this would be a really interesting idea for a villain when we actually get to it.
It is a really good idea. It's like there is a, in Valiant, one of their type mutants, is their power is that they can turn into drawn animals.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's really
like,
cool because...
Like Penny Crayon. Do you remember Penny Crayon?
Right, so she's like one of their youngest characters. Yeah. So she starts doing these really cartoony elephants and things. And then, when she gets a bit older, she discovers anime. And she actually turns into more like anime things. And yeah, so she's like one of my favourite characters. I think there is a lot to be said for... playing with the art if you're in a comic, you know. So I mean, that's why Kyle Rayner is the best Green Lantern. It's because he was an artist, so the things he can make with the Green Lantern power are much cooler. And we won't bother arguing about whether he's the best Green Lantern, because he clearly is. That's it.
The only Green Lantern I know of is Ryan Reynolds. Sorry.
He's also the Green Lantern we see the least of, Rebecca. I'm sorry.
No, I know that. Don't worry. I
it's all Hal Jordan or John Stewart from here.
I know that. That's why I'm getting in my love for him now, so I can express disappointment later.
Aww.
So we have the opening credits as the team decide, because the guy escapes and they go, right, we need to go to Tokyo to investigate.
Yes, because they do.
He's very excited.
Yes. And everyone has multiple versions of their costume as their spare clothes.
To be cool, when you know Batman, when you know millionaire, billionaire, whatever. When...
I like this little slug thing that Robin has as a pet. I don't know what it is.
I take
no
it something from the TV show. It must be.
Mm. Yeah, I thought that was cute.
Yeah. My exact notes are... Over credits, the team fly to Japan. There are several comedic skits.
Pretty much sums it up nicely.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's telling that I wrote, there are several quote-unquote comedic skits.
I was
writing that instead of laughing.
Yeah, because they're not... Again, they probably are if you're a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to like rag on it too much, because I think it's probably successful for what it is. It's just not for me.
Yeah. So as they arrive in Tokyo, Robin prays to Batman and is immediately trumped by Beast Boy, bouncing about like a rubber ball.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I like about Beast Boy. He embraces that effusiveness.
You're not going to criticise him for his enthusiasm.
No, but I like that. I think it's something you don't often see in heroes. Because they quite often quite give them this sort of like, oh, I've lost my parents, or oh, I'm separated from my planet, or oh, I'm, you know, like, because people think that. I mean, and it does give a lot of interesting stories, but you don't often get to see the I've got powers, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And within the right context and within a character you're only seeing a little bit. Like, I read a lot of his stuff. Maybe I'd hate it if I read a lot of it. But like with it, getting those little clips of it, it's nice because it's very different to just have someone in. Like, I'm sure he's got trauma in his background as well, because they all do. But, you know, like, why not?
We are introduced to Tokyo. Now, I've not been to Tokyo. Whoa.
That was my favourite line, where he went, Tokyo, whoa!
That was a great line.
I laughed so hard.
It's a great line.
Have all of you been to Tokyo?
No. I've been to Japan, that's in Florida.
It's Tokyo that shiny?
Probably.
So at this point, it's established very early that someone is watching the Teen Titans, and I think, I'm sure you guys are, I was like, oh, the second he was introduced out of the shadows, that's who it is, it's him. But it is nice that they kind of know someone's watching.
As soon as this, like, I can't remember his name, the commander turned up, I was like, oh, he's the villain.
He looked like the villain. Yeah. I mean, he just had that kind of, hi, I'll be your friend. Yeah. I'm the villain.
And he's always smiling. He's always smiling. Yeah.
And he seems so friendly.
So, I mean, talk about friendly. Starfire has a very friendly way to learn the language.
She does, bless her.
Yeah.
And poor Robin is so jealous.
Yes, he's so jealous it causes his cloak to spontaneously flap.
Oh, bless.
Yeah, that's what it does, you know.
Yeah.
It emotes.
It's like the cloak of levitation,
Yeah.
Thankfully, we don't have to worry about teen angst for too long, because we're in Japan, so we need a kaiju.
I like that. And I like that Beast Boy became a kaiju and got whipped.
Yeah. I like when he became a tortoise in the first fight.
Oh,
there was an explosion and then he turned into a tortoise to hide. That was funny. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a fight between Ink Godzilla and the Teen Titans. And I take it the idea was like, oh, they're in an environment they don't know, so they keep on getting tripped up by hazards.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, did they actually defeat the kaiju or did it just disappear?
I think they just disappeared. Like, I don't remember them actually doing that well.
Yeah, I think didn't the commanders, sorry, there's an ambulance going past.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't the commanders team take it down?
Yeah,
because they took it down so they could be like, oh, we did it, you know.
Oh, yeah, they did that cage with the light thing, didn't they?
That was
and they were like, see, I did pay attention. They were like, and then, they were like, it was like Ghostbusters, but to the max, and it made this cage, and they're like, we need one of those.
Yeah, I've even got here the commission, because I actually put the police commissioner. The commissioner is too friendly.
He was, though, right? He was just too happy and too friendly.
So it's this army of troopers come out, trap the kaiju, and then the leader of them goes, ah, Teen Titans, welcome. Let me give you a tour of our facility.
We're so happy to have you here.
Yeah.
And it's like the Scooby-Doo lore as well. You know, it's the only other character we meet.
Yeah.
So it's going to turn out to be...
It's going to turn out to be the bad guy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And at one point, Beast Boy tries to hit the big red button. Raven is mean to him. Because that seems to be the gag.
That's what she does.
I mean, like, you can't be a little goth girl without being mean.
Did you guys notice Raven's when
the best
they...
thing in this film?
Yeah, I like the kaiju. It's my favourite thing.
Yeah. Did you guys notice the Akira reference when they were watching the sumo? Did you guys see that?
I probably wasn't.
So there's a bit where they're watching sumo on a screen. They're watching sumo on a screen, and there's like some other kids watching the sumo in front of them. You see them from behind, and one of them's wearing the jacket that
Akira jacket.
Is it Kaneda?
Okay.
Yeah, the one with the on the back. Yeah, he's wearing that jacket. So I was like, that's a cute little.
Very cool.
I know very little of kind of manga and anime, so I'm not gonna.
I like Akira a lot.
Also, one other thing I know, and I think this is a direct quote, crime is down 200%.
Yeah.
That sounds like something our government might say. I'm sorry. Yeah. It just struck me as that's exactly the kind of thing you'd say and no one would question, because they'd be like, oh, that sounds good. And it's like, no, it sounds really weird.
200% sounds a lot. Yeah.
Yep. So the commander basically goes, we have everything covered, go on holiday. And Beast Boy uses as an excuse to go to the comic book place.
Well, he's wanted to, and he did say that straight away. I would like to go there.
Yep.
Should have listened to him.
Should've
and it was shut as well. When they go, it's locked up.
It is, and he's very sad. As I would be.
So, as Claire mentioned, we then have Titans watching sumo. Cyborg goes to an all-you-can-eat restaurant.
Oh, God, yeah,
these chefs are freaking out.
I miss restaurants.
Thankfully, not yet.
I miss restaurants.
Whilst this is happening, Starfire and Robin are doing all the generic romantic things.
But they look like they have three, so it just worries me most of the time.
Yeah. And
although I do quite like them as a couple, don't get me wrong, I think they go quite nicely together.
Beast Boy, I'm not comfortable with Beast Boy's plotline here, I have to be honest.
Yeah, me neither.
It's a bit incredibly not okay.
Yeah.
So he sees a Japanese schoolgirl, literally the stereotypical mini skirt, shirt, Japanese schoolgirl, who giggles and runs away.
It's really bad.
Uh-huh. On the other side, the only thing Raven can find that's in English is some gum.
In Tokyo? No.
Right.
Yeah, literally, there's... I think this is purely for a gag that comes later, because it's like...
Yeah,
have some donkey gum. And that comes around. Meanwhile, Dick Grayson is blocking himself because no one else would interrupt him.
Yeah, bless him. He's just nervous and saying all the wrong things.
Yeah. It doesn't help. I take it this is what the whole defining trait of this character. Starfire talks in this really backwards way.
I don't know if it's backwards, but it is a strange way. And yeah, she does. But there's some really great... I mean, like the comic I read with her in was very funny, where she was talking about it, and she was talking about having a mobile phone. And she was saying how much she likes it when it rings, and she's got it in her pocket. And everyone's like going, what? This is making like kind of dubious comments. So she's she's quite fun, and but I think she sort of she gets better in the like she, the more she's on Earth, the more she speaks normally, I think. But they do it to make it very clear she's an alien.
Yeah. So Starfire and Robin are about to kiss, and Robin goes, "No one's interrupting me." So Starfire leaves crying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Raven's being hunted, so she goes into a dark bookshop.
Fair.
Cyborg is beginning to freak the all-you-can-eat guys out, so they're trying to feed him octopus.
Yeah, and he just, eats the whole thing. He just old boys
could
that,
be
that
worse.
Octopus.
Yeah. He could be on YouTube cooking it alive, as we've seen elsewhere.
Yeah, I eat fish, but like I don't eat shellfish or anything with tentacles. I just can't.
And then we get Beast Boy in karaoke.
So this is the theme song, right? This is the...
It's so bad.
Yes. This is the Teen Titans theme song. Well,
it's
no,
just
it's
full
not,
of
it's
sugary goodness.
The Teen Titans song is sung in tune.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is the big difference.
Yeah.
This was the version as well over the end credits, which was like I think they all sang as well.
I had to turn off the end credits. It was too much for me. I was like, no, no, go away, stop singing.
At the end credit. The end credits is like, right, the gag is everyone else can't sing and Raven just sings like this because he doesn't
she
want
just
to
speaks.
Be there. So, meanwhile, Washington decides that he needs to send another psychotech. So he sends another psychotech, this time fully pink.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder why. I don't know why this one's just, the one colour, just magenta, but...
Maybe to show
that it's a different one. I don't know. Maybe the ink, the cyan ink, was running low in the printer. I don't know.
So we then get a fight between Psychotech and Robin.
Yeah.
And it gets brutal. Bears go really dark with it.
It is.
And it's implied Robin's beaten Psychotech to death.
Yeah.
It's a little bit implied, yes.
Which, at this point, you go, Bruce! Bruce, you need to come and get involved here.
Yeah.
So Robin gets arrested. It's a good fight. It is actually quite a good fight, I think.
It's not a bad fight. Either. I mean, most of them are pretty good fights for what they are. It's just for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cute. Little cartoony fights.
Robin gets arrested and chucked a comic book.
Yeah. And he's arrested by the guy that we totally don't know is a villain. Yeah, we totally don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, Raven gets a book on Boshokan. Beast Boy and Cyborg get chased by an army of chefs and schoolgirls.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly getting as tropey as they can with the whole Japan thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the chefs are angry because he ate all the food or just because they want to feed him even more. Because at the end, they unveil all this extra food. So I was like, so are you angry that he's eaten all your food?
You just want to give him
more,
yeah.
Or they just want to serve him? I don't know.
Yeah, it's not quite clear. Meanwhile, Starfire talks to a young girl and just kind of sorts herself out.
Yeah, yeah. Realizes that she's in love.
Yep, we get the fastest printed paper in history. Because it can only have been a couple of hours and Robin's already in the paper.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so now we get another fight.
There's a lot of fights. They don't last very long, but there are a lot of fights.
Is this when, like, the other creatures are created? Like, all these other creatures start turning up, like the Chitara, you know?
So Starfire ends up fighting a blue rocket boy. Raven fights a black ghost monster.
As you do.
Cyborg fights a giant robot.
As you do.
It turns out that Japanese schoolgirl that Beast Boy was chasing is secretly a cat lady.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, she's Chitara.
It's almost like they're mirror images of the Teen Titans themselves.
Yeah. Almost as if they were. Who knew?
And meanwhile, Robin Bushigan tries to blow up Robin.
He's getting too close to the source.
Robin escapes and runs off without his cloak.
I thought you were going to say clothes then.
No, not yet.
I mean, from two streaking.
You never know.
So, here's something I don't get. So, Cyborg loses a hand, and then 5 seconds later, his hand's back.
It's Cyborg. So what happens?
Yeah, I didn't know that he could do this. Is it like nanotech? I'm guessing.
Well, he packs spare limbs, so I don't think so.
He packs spare limbs. Amazing. It's just amazing. I'll just pack a few spare limbs. I actually have a friend who's got a prosthetic leg and actually does pack spare limbs. So I don't know why it's making me laugh so much, because I've been in cars with someone who has spare legs in the boot. So, you know, but still, I don't know, it's the way we said it.
I did wish I could speak Japanese, because I want to know the trash talking that the cat lady's doing as well.
Yeah, I wish we sort of knew what she was saying.
Yeah.
I understood like the odd word of the Japanese in this, but I studied it a long time ago and not for long enough.
I just got enough to know it was pretty decent Japanese. You know, and that was it.
Well, it's probably, I mean, I imagine it's like Japanese animators, you know, and everything. So yeah.
Most of DC's work is animated by Japanese studios, yeah.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be that hard for them to get someone Japanese to.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a mugger chooses the wrong target. And Robin channels his inner Batman and goes, what would Batman do? Find the diviest bar and fight it.
Can you imagine?
The troopers surround the bar. And we get a bike chase. Because of course we do.
Of course.
This is like the third or fourth chase / action scene in like 5 minutes.
It's really, you can tell it's very different. Like when it's for, there's no time to be bored in anything. It's like zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah. Robin eventually gets saved by Starfire. And somehow the rest of the Teen Titans got away.
Yeah. Well, they would just kind of escape, like, individually, yeah.
We don't find out how or why, but, they get away. And we then get Bushigan's backstory.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so this looked like it was not in the modern day. I don't know if that was just me. It felt like it was like, you know, a few hundred years ago. But I was like, so has he existed for this long? And that's why people have kind of forgot about him. But then I was like, but where was he before a commander guy found him, you know,
mm-hmm.
and controlled it? So I was a bit confused by the timeline of this.
Well, we do eventually find him. He seems to be a very old man. So we then get a chase montage with no chasing. It's sort of, there's various bits where amongst static paintings, random heads pop up and pop down, and because everyone that wants to chase the Teen Titans is now chasing them.
Yeah. This was quite, I liked some of the animation in this bit, the way it was done.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bit where they incorporated animation with like a actual photographic background of Japan, like just for like a couple of seconds. I thought that was kind of, they kept it interesting, you know.
And meanwhile, they've already figured out, oh no, all the monsters we've been fighting were actually made of ink.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, we need to go to the comic book factory.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the factory, and it seems abandoned.
Da da da
da da.
They find the base that the bad guy, who can't possibly be the commander, can't possibly be him. But we do find Brushigan, and he is an old man that's been hooked up to a machine.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, with these like cables coming out of him.
That's so dark. We shows the kids. And then it turns out, gasp! The bad guy was the commander. Oh,
we didn't see that coming, did we?
Yeah, I know. Like I know, because policemen are always trustworthy.
Yep. Yeah,
and they're never the bad guys in any show I watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out, no, the commander has been using Brushigan to forcibly make villains for him to defeat, making him the hero. They are literally Star Wars Palpatining it.
Yeah. Well, all his army of identical troopers, you could tell, were, because they seem surprised even at this point where they realize that he's controlling this guy. They seem surprised that all these troopers later are not real. They're creations. Well, and I was like, well, yeah, of course they are. They're all they're all identical and don't seem to have any personality of their own. They're like a hive mind, you know?
This leads to another fight.
It's a lot of fights. It's good.
So this time, instead, they've printed off a load of multicolored monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So you get them all kind of different shades and all. I'm sure the artists animated loved that. So the Titans figure out, oh no, everyone's made of ink. We can hit them as hard as we like.
Hooray! And then the fight fest goes.
Yep. I mean, at least the Teen Titans do seem to be a good team.
They do, actually, yeah. Fair play. They work well together, and they've obviously been together for a while.
Yep. And seeing the way the wind's blowing, the commander tries to run. He gets cornered by Robin, and he jumps into the printing press.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh. Who cares?
Yeah.
And we get a boss fight.
We need a boss fight.
Yeah. So
yeah,
the commander turns himself into a massive ink kaiju with tentacles.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
Where's the lie?
Why does it have tentacles?
Because it's Japan.
Because it's Japan.
It's
yeah,
Japan.
Exactly.
That's the only reason.
Because like the whole bit Okay. where they pull the other guy out of this big ink monster, I was like, I've been rewatching all the Studio Ghibli films, and I was like, I feel like this has happened in every single one of them that I've seen.
It's very
you know.
Weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how they defeat, so there's a massive fight with the kaiju. How they defeat it is Robin pulls Brushiken out of the kaiju because that's what's powering it.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of them get swallowed, and then Robin pulls him out. The commander explodes into a pile of ink.
Mm-hmm.
Starfire almost gets buried in it, and the ink gets washed away, and Robin and Starfire kiss.
Oh, which is lovely.
Oh,
it is lovely. I like them as a couple. I mean, they look like they're three in this, which is a bit off-putting, but I like them. I mean, they don't look old enough to be kissing, but they're fine. It's like when you watch little nursery school kids kiss and you go, oh, it's so sweet.
It's one of these things that, because I know the Teen Titans that tie up in the DC animated universe, well, I think it's Damian Wayne's the Robin in that one. And he gets a relationship with someone as well. So it seems to be a, no, our Robins cannot be left single.
Robins are always desirable is the question, is the instruction there.
Yep. And much like any other film that we've watched where the police are hunting down our heroes, they suddenly changed their tune. Oh, no, we saw you fighting Ink Kaiju, so you must be the good guys.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, yeah.
And all our other titans need to get something, so Beast Boy gets the girls.
Of course.
Cyborg gets presented with a massive... Beast.
All the food in Japan. All the food.
Yeah. And Raven becomes a gum mascot.
It's true, though.
And the Teen Titans say, well, we can have a proper holiday now. Beast Boy proposes Mexico, and Raven is mean to Beast Boy.
It's pretty fair. I mean, that of approximation of what happens, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the end of Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, we will see these Teen Titans again.
Oh, no.
Oh, Rebecca.
But we'll see them in 13 years and...
Oh, God, is that how long our lives go?
76 movies time.
Whoa, 76 movies time.
Wow, okay. Have they made that many?
Which is Teen Titans Go versus the Titans.
Okay, I've seen, yeah, okay, yeah. That's just going to be kiddie again, but kind of cute.
Yeah, because Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go, even though it has the same voice actors, is a different continuity.
Fair. Whatever.
Before that, however, next week, we are going into Superman Doomsday.
Hurrah.
Yeah.
Which, well, I mean, it's going to be better than Brainiac Attacks.
You say that.
This was
I mean, we have no real way of knowing that we're better than Superman Attacks, but we've heard it is.
We don't know it is, but DeLuca seems to be taken seriously, so.
Okay.
The other episodes we've got coming up are Justice League: The New Frontier, based on DC: The New Frontier, Batman: Gotham Knight, which are short movies set between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that we've got coming up is the cutscenes from Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe.
Which, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I will say in advance, this is probably the weakest of the three Nella Realm cutscene films we'll be watching.
Okay.
By a long way. Because the other two are Injustice, and Injustice is actually quite good. Meanwhile, so Claire, as we mentioned, that you do other podcasts yourself.
Yes.
What podcasts are you currently working on?
I've got two podcasts at the moment. They can all be found at Reactionary Sass is the name of our website. But the two podcasts I do at the moment have very long titles, so I'll say them so Alan doesn't have to. One is the Sassy Sewer Lion Boutique, which is where we watch the TV series Beauty and the Beast from the 80s, and we comment on it, and we're really loving it.
I love that
we comment
show.
On particularly the fashions. It's so great. Although we
is it
we
still
think
live
that
action or a cartoon? Sorry.
Live action.
It's live
starring
action.
Ron
so
Perlman
good.
And Linda Hamilton, and we think that it might be about a secret cult because there's a lot of cult behavior going on. And then the other podcast I do is called True True Crime, a Deadly Serious Podcast, in which we discuss crimes from movies or plays, and we dissect them like you would a true crime. We recently, for True True Crime, put the family from the first Fast and Furious movie on trial. and we've also previously put, who else have we put on trial? Sweeney Todd. We're going to do ones like, we've put the Key Holiday from The Great Muppet Caper on trial. The next one we will be doing is we'll be discussing Hyda in the House. And it's the character that Gary Busey played, but I can't remember his name. with a lot of ones, we're always up for suggestions. We know already, for instance, that our next Christmas episode will be putting the McAllisters on trial for child endangerment in the Home Alone movies.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I actually realised I should be doing this for every episode. Rebecca, you appear on a couple of podcasts at the moment as well.
Mostly the Immortal Iron Fist one with Connor, who's guested and is going to guest again. I very occasionally go on the Moon Knight one, which is, I think there's only a couple of Moon Knight ones. You'll find them.
What podcast just followed us, by the way? It's awesome.
Into the Night, it's nice. Called. That's right. No, they are really good. It's a really good podcast. And I was in it right at the beginning and I helped set it up and stuff like that. But unfortunately, because the other hosts are Australian and I now work 37 hours a week, I was just talking to Ray about trying to schedule another time. And the problem is the times they can do are the times I have to be working. Mm. So it's still up in the air that I'll go back. It's just if anyone goes there listening for me, I'm probably like the first 50 episodes and not so much in any of the later ones. So it's just hard to get me, whereas because you're in the UK, it's a lot easier for us to schedule times. So it's not, but it is a good podcast and it did get me into Moon Knight, so a lot more, so it's cool.
And well, obviously, both of you have appeared in far more podcasts than myself. The only other one I've got, and my podcast is Rise of the Robots, which is a robot combat podcast where we rewatch all televised robot combat. Currently, we are going through Robot Wars Series 3, which is the series where it gets good.
Nice.
Cool.
So back to DC for a minute. If you have any feedback for us, or if you want to discuss any of the films we're about to discuss, you can follow us at DCAU Podcast on Twitter and email us at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yes. Give us feedback.
Send you emails about how much I love John Constantine.
Time.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU Podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.